And joining me now on Pacific Days for our regular catch-up for global politics, Dr. Stephen Hoadley, Associate Professor of Politics and International Relations at the University of Auckland's Faculty of Arts. Great to have your company this afternoon and via Zoom today. So very good, Dr. Stephen. Great to have your company. Well, let's get straight into it. Today, the Suez Canal blockage will push up oil and freight costs for sure. But what do you think the wider geo-economic consequences will be?
Well, there's a big debate now. Is this the end of globalization? Does this signal the fact that countries are going to try to be more self-sufficient, try to avoid these choke points? There's several of them. The Panama Canal is another. The Malacca Straits is another. I'm more optimistic, Brian. I think that, in fact, the supply chain and the current globalization is too powerful. It's too efficient. It will recover. Yes, there'll be a temporary rise in prices and a slowdown in goods. But look, the big problems are here in Auckland. Not enough crane drivers, a faulty automation system. But, you know, we don't need to go to the Suez Canal to find problems. We've got problems right here. So my belief is that, there's going to be some problems, some shortages in Syria and the Middle East, in Europe. But the globalization will continue because actually it works pretty well. And the various suppliers, shipping companies and logistics firms, they will adapt and we will get our goods on our shelves and petrol in our tank.
Now, last week we reported on the Western sanctions imposed on China for human rights abuses, Dr. Stephen. How has China responded?
China has responded very robustly. They, of course, do not accept that they are abusing human rights. They think they are simply keeping order and restraining terrorism. So they've got a very different view of what's happening in Hong Kong, for example, what's happening in northwestern China amongst the Uyghur people, amongst human rights in general. Well, they've picked on the weakest link in the Western chain. It's not other governments. It is other companies. And so they have picked on various companies that do business in China. And I'll meet off some of them. You recognize these brands that are in New Zealand. H&M, for example, Nike, for example. And you go on down the list of a number of other famous companies. And I'm just trying to pick out a few more in which, because of the growing middle class of China and because of the shrinking U.S. and European markets and the Japanese market, because of the Japanese population is actually shrinking, that China is more important than ever as a market. So these companies are hurting and they're easy prey. That the Chinese government can simply shut down their storefronts, their virtual storefronts. They can shut down their actual in-person storefronts. They can investigate them for income tax evasion, trumped up charges, yes, but they are effective in preventing them from doing business. Now, those companies in turn will be going to their governments of Europe, United States, United Kingdom, and saying, look, help us out. Don't be so forthright in criticizing China because it's really hurting our business. And if it hurts our business, it's going to hurt your tax take. So it's a circle of reactions. And the Chinese are playing hardball. Fortunately, it's not a military hardball. It's more of an economic hardball. And another issue just I might mention in closing is cotton. Now, a lot of cotton is grown in that Xinjiang area, and the United States now has banned that cotton. It cannot be used for clothing. It cannot be traded by U.S. firms. U.S. financial institutions cannot provide finance, and the Chinese are reacting to that as well. So I think we're going to see this escalation of tit for tat. The West concerned about China's human rights, China concerned to strike back by restricting Western access into its market. So we'll no doubt be talking about this in the future again, Brian.
Now to Europe, Dr. Stephen. Still in political disarray over vaccine distribution. What's the current issue?
Well, the current issue is that there isn't enough vaccine to go around, but Britain seems to have done very well. The British Swedish company, AstraZeneca, has been able to provide protection to about 50% of British citizens. Now, you compare this to in Spain, Italy, Germany, and France, we find that only about 15%. So 15% versus 50%. The Europeans are saying, hey, that's not fair. Britain is getting first go at this as the vaccines come off the assembly line. They have vaccinated 50% of their people. We're the ones who really need it. We're going to stop exporting to Great Britain. And they've also stopped exporting to Australia because they say Australia is relatively COVID-free. Well, we don't think so, certainly given the outbreak in Queensland and northern New South Wales. But relative to Europe, Australia is not too badly off. So it's a real battle to about fairness. And the Europeans also said, look, we've exported millions of vaccines to third world countries. We're trying to help out the poor. This benefits, of course, the Pacific Islanders as well, who are getting some consideration from the metropolitan countries. So the Europeans say, we're doing the right thing, but we need it, and we're not going to export it to Great Britain any longer. Brian?
And finally, to our Pacifica region, Dr. Stephen, what's the latest coming out of the Pacific?
Well, several things. There's a great deal coming out of the Pacific, but I'll just focus on one or two of them. And just give me a moment. And one of them is the fact that, with you just a second. Here we are. Cook Islands. What about the Cook Islands? Let's talk about them for a moment. Relatively COVID-free. There will be a bubble coming up in a few weeks. But the Cook Islands premier is concerned that the drain of workers from Cook Islands to New Zealand, because there is able to achieve one-way flow, reckons that 40% of the workforce of the Cook Islands could be lost by the end of the year. Now, these are essential workers in, say, the tourism industry, the services that require to back up tourism and so forth. So my wife and I are thinking about going to Rarotonga as soon as the bubble is established. But a lot of Cook Islanders are coming this way, and this is going to cause a shortfall of skilled and experienced people. So this is one little bit of worry. On a slightly brighter side, the New Zealand government is going to take liability for vaccines in the Pacific Islands. The Prime Minister talked with the Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown and said that if there's any mishaps, New Zealand will take responsibility, will provide the medical backup if there's any difficulty, such as side effects, which we hope there will not be. So this, I think, is a good sign. And finally, just to wrap up, the issue of deep sea mining has come up again, Brian. The civil society in the Pacific, the environmentalists are saying, look, deep sea mining does create environmental hazard. It destroys the sea life. It pollutes the sea. And so a number of NGOs, the NGO Alliance of Churches, civil society groups, and so forth, have issued what they call their blue line statement. Unfortunately, not everybody agrees. For example, the Cook Islands and Nauru governments have both backed exploration activities by companies spearheading deep sea mining because they will get income, they will get royalties. So it's a classic case of the ordinary people wanting a cleaner environment on the one side, governments needing to balance their budgets and get income from mining and other foreign-based operations on the other. We'll no doubt be talking about this in future, Brian. It's not an easy one to solve, but we'll keep watching it and see where it goes. Over to you, Brian.
Dr. Stephen Hoadley, Associate Professor of Public and International Relations at the University of Auckland's Faculty of Arts, for our weekly update on global politics. Always a pleasure, Dr. Stephen, and we'll catch up again same time next week. Thank you.
I look forward to it, Brian.